these on, so there we go, there we go. Praise the Lord, 25 years. Oh, real quick, before we pray and get going here, if anybody lost a key, we found a key, so I wanted to have it with me so I wouldn't forget. I'll put it right here, and so if you lost a key, it's up here, and we have your key. But welcome to Calvary Chapel. We're glad you're here tonight. And before we even get going here, let's just pray and ask God to bless it, and then let's just see how it goes. We're Tracy and I walk through this. We've never done this before, but it's going to be fun and exciting and probably funny, too, when we get the pictures going. But anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, so much for your faithfulness over these first 25 years. We don't know what you have in mind, God. We believe your return is very soon. But Lord, we know that you're not done. And we thank you for how faithful you've been, Lord, up to this point. We know you'll be faithful all the way through to the rapture and then for eternity. And so we give you praise for that. Lord, and Lord, nothing could sum this up more than not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so we give you all the glory. We pray, God, that as we walk down memory lane of what you've done over these 25 years, that it'll be a sweet night, a fun night, a rejuvenating night, a night, God, to see your faithfulness. And so, Lord, pour out your spirit now and minister to us, even through seeing your faithfulness and this testimony tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, first of all, some of you guys have never even seen our whole family because we have multiple services. So the girls, can my girls come up? Are they all here? No, Adiah's not here. Okay, she didn't come. But anyway, Tali, at least real quick, come up. Leo, come up. Abby's running the video, so she can't come up. She's there in the back running the video. But if... No, she can, but she said, you're welcome to come up if you can. She says... She says she couldn't because she's running the video. But this is Tali. This is Liel. Liel's our second oldest, and Tali's number three, and then Abby's number four. Adiah, our oldest, is married, and she did the right thing. She went to the church with her husband, but as soon as they repent, they'll be back. I better be careful. They may be watching this. No. No, anyway, again, they're doing great, and I was hoping she'd be here tonight with our little grandbaby daughter so you could see her, and anyway, we wanted to see at least our family, everybody at one time. We were still missing some, but you get to see them, so thanks, ladies. That was great. And as I said, guys, there's really no way. I feel so inadequate to even talk about tonight and try to even explain this. Let me just say before we even get going, again, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God has done all this. And if you knew me better, you would know how true that is. But you know, as we talk about this and go through it, you're going to see that more and more. Before we even start the pictures or whatever, let me kind of talk about when we got here and when we came. And listen, if we forget things, I know we're going to forget a lot of things. Some things we can't talk about. We don't have time. So if you're that, I can't believe you didn't say that. Well, that's part of why I've got Tracy here also, just to help me to be able to remember some of the more important things to bring up, because we have a lot to cover in a short amount of time. And so let me just go and say, in 1997, it was August 7th, 1997, 25 years ago tonight, we started our first Bible study, and we came into Knoxville, in June. We moved here in June, and we kind of got settled, and we went down to the old Washington Ridge Apartments. They're not even Washington Ridge anymore. They have a new name now. I'm not sure what the new name is, but we thought, well, we'll go live in apartments, and then we'll just meet in the clubhouse and start there. So we started on a Thursday night. It was a Thursday night 25 years ago. We decided to do that because we thought, well, probably everybody already has churches they go to, so we're going to try to offer a Bible study at a time where people could still come and, you know, go to their own church or do whatever and not feel like they're, you know, being unfaithful to their church. That wasn't our heart. We didn't want to draw anybody to us in that sense, but we thought if we did it on a neutral day to begin with, that it might have a better opportunity to kind of get off the ground. And so that's what we did. Now, before we even start the pictures, the very first night, August 7th, that night, they had agreed that we could use the clubhouse for free, which was very nice. And the night that we showed up, we showed up there to go do it. I was going to be down there doing the Bible study. Tracy was going to be up in the apartment watching any kids that showed up. And so get there for the very first night, and the door was locked. They forgot about us. So we thought, well, we're still going to have a Bible study. So what we did was we went around to the swimming pool, and I say we because that night there were really only three people there besides Tracy watching the kids. And I'll quit talking in a minute, let you talk. I know she doesn't feel comfortable talking anyway, so she didn't mind me doing this, at least in front of everybody. But so we go around back, say, we're going to do this anyway. We go around to the swimming pool, and there happened to be one person back there swimming. We'll show her picture in a minute because I know she's in there, Mala Ika. I still remember her name. She was a Muslim. She didn't give her life to Christ that night, but we got to share our faith with somebody that, you know, that was a Muslim and kind of wasn't much, it was more of a sharing than a Bible study. So, but we did try to get started in the book of John. But the first ones that came, and I want to talk about some of the first ones that ever came. The first two we ever had, besides Malaika, who happened to be swimming, which you've never seen again. But she really loved the study. But anyway, was Michelle, my sister-in-law, and Michaela. So Michelle, do what now? Yeah, where are they? Yeah, where are they? Where's you, okay, this is Michaela. Now, y'all saw Michaela. She just did the worship, right? She was here the very first night we started 25 years ago, and you were, well, like 22 or something at that time. I'm just kidding. But anyway, she was in a little tiny, you know, the baby chair. Well, let's show the pictures. There we go. Okay, go ahead. This is why Tracy's here. Show the pictures. There's Malaika.
There's the first.
And there is Michelle.
First night.
Is her mic on?
Hello.
Yes. There you go. And that's Michaela. So there she is. And again, now when Michelle came, this, of course, is I don't remember when you didn't come to join us because you didn't know we didn't have people there or whatever. Who took the picture? That's a good question. Anyway, yeah, I don't know who took the picture, but I always thought when they first came that it was just a love offering. They're coming just to try to help us out, you know, and make us feel good, because we had the first, I don't know how many weeks, two or three, four or five people. It was a long time growing. I mean, after one full year, we only had 20 people coming to Calvary. So you had something you're going to say, or did you? You had that look. Okay. All right. So that was the first night, and so I'll kind of talk a little bit about it while you got, well, you can go ahead and do some of the pictures, just don't get past the clubhouse. This is at the clubhouse, some of the pictures, and by the way, we were only there, I forget, a short amount of time, maybe 3 months, and then the next ones to show up that are still here today are Greg and Ann, and I think Greg and Ann may be running the radio in there. Are they in here? No, there they are, right there. And Greg and Ann, listen, they've been with us almost the full 25 years. Yeah. They're right there in line, right behind Michaela. Yeah. And that round of applause is more deserved than you know. And I don't want to steal, listen, I don't want to steal any of their reward in heaven. So I want to be careful how I say this. But God brought them to us. Yeah. And they were such and still are and have been a huge encouragement and the best of friends to us. God has used them in the ministry from the very beginning. And it was just literally, I mean, I can't say enough about Greg and Ann and what they mean to us and how God used them and how God is still using them today. And I look at it and think, you know, a lot of times you think about a church and it's planted and we're 25 years down the road and the pastor and the fruit or his wife or whatever. But I look at the people that were involved. Listen, I believe that if the fruit's going to be weighed out on a scale, there's not going to be but maybe one or more apple. Maybe I shouldn't use that. One or more orange on my scale than those guys, because they've been such a part of the ministry from the very beginning. And so, again, I don't know what to say. You want to add anything to that?
Mm-hmm. Greg does the radio with Mark. If you didn't know that, we have a radio station. It's in the hallway there, and it's 101.1 FM. And something that Mark and Greg both wouldn't tell you is that we recently found out that they are number 9 in the nation for Christian news radio. So I think that's a really great thing.
You're right. I wouldn't have said that.
No.
Anyway.
So they're doing a really good job.
Well, I think all I can say, and again, this goes to all of you guys that have been here for a long time. I'm not trying to, every one of you are so special to us, but the love and faithfulness of Greg and Ann, I can't, without taking their reward, I'm going to leave it at that and say that I can't thank them enough for their faithfulness and their love and what a huge part of the ministry they are. Now, shortly after that, and again, these are all pictures of the clubhouse, some of the people that
Bryce
were there.
And Lisa and Pam. And
yep. There's Greg and Ann in the middle. See, did you notice them? Did you see them? Go back. I got to pick on them. There's Greg and Ann. Look at that. We haven't aged any, have we? And Bryce and Lisa. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Again, Bryce and Lisa. Yes. Are they here tonight, Bryce and Lisa? They were here last Sunday. Okay, all right. But yeah, Bryce and Lisa, they're still around.
That's Mike and Michelle, and that's my sister.
There's Mike and Michelle. Yep, there they are. And so again, this is, you know, toward the very first there, as you guys, as we said. And of course, as we were meeting here, it gradually grew.
And that is my oldest daughter, Daya, at the end, and Zach, if you know Zach Shells, and then Michaela, I think, on her lap.
Right.
And that's my mom actually holding them.
And so we met in the clubhouse for the first year. Like I said, Tracy watched the kids. We were down in the clubhouse. There we are. Yeah. Hey, we haven't changed any. And my shirts were much more calm back then. If you noticed, it was really kind of a... I'm being silly. She's like, no, it hasn't changed anyway.
Our couch is kind of like his shirt.
Yeah. But that was where the kids' church was, is there in our house, you know, and we have some interesting stories of that kind of stuff happened in our house when people come out of church. But anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, so we were there about a year, grew to about 20 people. And then during that time, there was a church that was also a great blessing to us, Christ Chapel. They're still there on campus. You may have heard of Christ Chapel or know them. Tremendous just hearts and let us use the church. We wanted to start adding a Sunday night. So we kept our Thursday, added a Sunday night. And I forget exactly how long it was till we did that. Yeah, that's Christ Chapel Sundays. There it is, January 1998 to June. So we were there for that length of time. So after about five or six months, we met there on Sunday night. So we had the Thursday night and the Sunday night. And so we finished our first year. And then after that, we were thinking, what are we going to do now? We're done with 1 year. We're up to 20 people. I didn't have any other skills but teaching the Bible, so I was waiting tables at Cracker Barrel. And so we were like, where are we going to live? We can't afford anything. So we started praying about, Lord, where are we going to live? And I'm thinking we're going to get some warehouse that has like a curtain. You know, we'll have church on one side and we'll live on the other side. Are you going to say something? Well, and keep that picture there for a minute. So all of a sudden we get a phone call. And again, it was Michelle, which God used them in huge ways in the ministry at the beginning as well. And she says, hey, we've got a friend who needs somebody to house sit. They're going to be going into missions and they need somebody to house sit. They can't really, pay anything to do it or, but they need somebody to wash their house. I'm thinking, hey, this could be great. She said, it's a big house. I'm thinking, well, good. We need something maybe we can live in and have church in at the same time. So I said, we'll go check it out. We go check this house out. It's a 10,000 four-level home, 10,000 square foot home with a swimming pool and tennis court, which we couldn't afford to put water in the swimming pool, but the tennis court was down there and I didn't play tennis, but it was there. And go ahead. You were gonna say something. Oh, okay, all right, it'll come back. But anyway, she's kind of like that spinning wheel, that kind of just waiting on that to download. It'll download in a minute. But anyway.
Mark calls it mental pause.
Yeah, she's going through mental pause.
And it is.
Yeah. But we go and look at it. We have this gorgeous 10,000 square foot home. We're like, oh, my goodness. And I remember her saying to us, Mrs. Eyring, she was like, we can't really, pay you to stay here or whatever, that kind of thing. We're not going to do that. And we had like what about?
What we were praying for was we only had like $300 to pay for rent.
Yeah.
And we had lived off of our savings the first year when we came. And we were praying for that. And when she called or we talked with her, we were like, we can't even afford to pay the electric bill for that house. Yeah. And I asked her how much she would want for us to stay there, and she said $300, and she would cover everything else. And so it was exactly.
So a 10,000 foot mansion in Sequoia Hills was all we could afford.
You can see the house.
God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? You should have seen the pizza guy when he delivered the pizza. I was there in shorts. He comes to the front door, and there's that boom, boom, this beautiful house and all this stuff, whatever. And so he comes. They've added on to it. It's even better now. But he comes to the front door, and he's like, wow, dude, you live here? And I said, yeah. He said, what do you do? I said, wait tables at Cracker Barrel. You're kidding. No, I really do wait tables at Cracker Barrel, But anyway, so... It was great, and there was a section over there on the west side. There was a huge room that could hold 50 chairs. They called it the music room. It had we had 50 chairs in there, and we had the church in there, and we grew from like 20 to probably over the year and a half we were there to about 90 some people. We used the upstairs as the kids ministry, and so I think that's pictures from the upstairs. By the way, here's some more that were with us from the very beginning. Carl and Debbie. They also have been so extremely faithful and a blessing the entire time. They were here close to the very beginning or whatever, and still here today. And so
Debbie's still in the children's ministry.
Yeah, I mean,
we're thankful for her.
Look
for
at the
that.
Faithfulness of these guys. I mean, again, all you guys are faithful.
There's little Haley with the heart.
Yep. So they're up there in the top floor of the mansion.
Oh, and there's Liel and Michaela and Zach and Adiah.
In the back, yep. So anyway. Just so, again, just a great time. Now, baptisms, there was a friend that had lived there in Sequoia Hills, had a pool, and we got to baptism. I said, yeah, that's Jimmy's house, Jimmy Wright. Maybe some of you guys know Jim, I don't know, but there we are doing baptism. Carl getting baptized.
With Greg and you.
With Greg and I doing it, yeah. And so, again, wow.
And those are some of the Cracker Barrel people that Mark worked with, the two ladies on the end. Julie still comes here, and actually Diane passed away.
She's gone to be with the Lord. Diane has, yeah, but Julie's still coming some. And, of course, there's Carl again. And so these guys being here. Now, some neat thing real quick about the, and whatever, jump in any time on this stuff. I mean, as far as me leaving anything out. The hard thing
it's
about
hard.
Mentioning the, yeah, well, she says it's hard, but she really doesn't want to say much. So just let me know, and I'll let you talk. But anyway.
It's Mike and me and Liel.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, just worship out there. Again, there's so many things. I mean, I've forgotten more than I remember. But just, again, we grew there. We were there. How long were we there? A year and a half at the mansion? About a year and a half at the mansion. And I'm going to pull Ben in here in a minute, at least mention Ben, because he shared something with me I want to share with you guys. I don't know that we have the time to back and forth and come up, but you yell, they won't hear it on the radio or streaming. So, that was Stephanie right there. There's so many stories. Anyway, I have to be careful. I'll let y'all look at the pictures, and I'll try to stay focused. But a year and a half there, whatever, and church grew, like I said, to probably about 90 people while we were there. And, of course, it was now close to 3 years into the ministry. And I remember as we were about to finish our time there, we had to leave because the house was going to be the show house. You know, they do these show houses every year, and they were going to come in and revamp it and fix it up and do even more to it and all this, and a show house that year. And so we had to find a new place to go, a new place to live. And we'll get to that as far as here in just a minute. But we were finishing up the book of Genesis, and the lady that we were, again, Mrs. Iring, yeah, that we had the house from, the Irings. I never did meet Mr. Iring, but anyway, Mrs. Iring. She came to visit right before we moved out, and she came to one of our Bible studies. And I remember we were toward the end of the book of Genesis. It may have been the very end of Genesis. I'm not sure. And she says at the end of the Bible study, she said, "Can I share something with your people before I go?" And I'm like, "Oh, of course you can. I mean, it's your home." And I didn't say that, but you're the one that made, you opened the door to us and let us use your home and all this going on here, et cetera, and that stuff. So she says, "I want you guys to know something." She said, and at that time it was probably, let's see, 30 years ago, just about, yeah, 30 years ago. Yep, mental pause. She said, "This house was used to plan for the Billy Graham Crusade for Knoxville." She said, "The Whites, the McDonald's, owned this house at that time. They're the ones that owned the White stores here in Knoxville." And she said, "They chose this house as one of the locations where they would meet and pray and plan." And it was interesting because Ben, his parents were involved in the planning of the Billy Graham Crusade back in 1970, and he recently asked his mom about this, and she indeed said, "Yes, we gathered there at the McDonald House and prayed for the crusade and all this kind of stuff." So he was sharing that with me, which was really cool. I mean, I knew it was true, but that was just cool to hear. He asked his mom about it. She remembered going there and praying there in one of the places they planned. But what she shared with us, she said, "I want you guys to know this. As we were praying for the Billy Graham Crusade, we prayed as a group, the team there, that God would raise up a church in this home and use it to continue the gospel in Knoxville, Tennessee."
And the verse that you were teaching out was one of the verses that they had prayed about.
That's exactly, yeah, see, that's why she's here, because of my mental pause. The verse, one of the verses that was in our teaching that night was the verse that they used to pray for a church here in Knoxville. She came one time to one study, and it was that study when I was in that verse, and she felt compelled to get up and say, she said, "You are the answer to our prayers back in 1970 that God would use this home to raise up a ministry, a church here in Knoxville, Tennessee." We were just like staring at her, kind of like, it was kind of those moments you're afraid to move. You're like, you know? And it was just, again, just such a testimony to God. And again, you start realizing how big God is. And you start realizing, wait a minute, this thing was planned a long time ago, and this is a lot bigger than us. It's not just, we're thinking we're going to move there, do a Bible study. God says, "No, I planned this from the foundation of the world." And he's done that for you, too, in your call as well. Again, we're talking about the church tonight, but don't think that God doesn't have all your days planned out that same way. So anything else about the mansion before we move on? That kind of says
you
it, right?
You can still see it. It's on Kingston Pike in Sequoia Hills on the right-hand side if you're going west, and it's just before the Montessori school, and it has the big cream wall in front of it, and that's the house.
And before the Fresh Market, you know where that place is, where the Fresh Market? If you back up Montessori school, then come on back, you'll see a big cream wall and a house. That's the mansion. That's where we were during that time. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is great. So anyway, we reached there, we finished, and I actually met Ben Johnson about that time. That's when Ben started getting involved in our life. He didn't start coming to Calvary yet, but at that time, he started getting involved in our life, and of course, we didn't know how, isn't that kind of neat how God connected us with them, and their parents were in there praying about the church, and now we've come full circle. I mean, the whole thing is so amazing to think about. But he was helping us, again, with insurance and all that, and then we found, interestingly enough, we found right down the street, we found a strip mall. And again, you get the strip mall church stigma, but you kind of have to do that when you're growing. You start out in the clubhouse, you go to, you know, most people to a mansion, and then and then we went to the strip mall. And again, now we have some pictures of the strip mall, what it was like. And we had to go in there and rebuild. We had to do walls and do all this stuff. There's actually another church in there. They're called Swift or something like that. When you drive by, you'll see their sign.
But right behind the health factory.
Yes. And I remember going in there thinking, you know what? $3,000 and a few walls and we're in this place. $75,000 later, we had it ready for church. Shows you I'm not a builder. I'm a pastor, right? And so there we are. We have pictures of people working on the building and getting it ready. And so this whole development of the building. And there's the layout, the drawings of it. And, of course, we had it split up. The offices were on the left side. The sanctuary there in the back in the middle. And the kids' ministry over there on the right side in that section as you see it. And, again, we were there for 13 years. Now, something else really cool. Yeah, that was crazy. An ostrich came in there. I don't know. Why do we have a picture of an ostrich? Oh, okay. All right. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Oh, but that says, she reminded me. When we went in, we're looking at the building. And I walked over in the corner, and there's a dead cat. Dead cat bones with dead mouse bones in his mouth laying there. I don't know what that meant. Maybe nothing, but she wanted me to mention that. But there's Greg again.
And that's Lori Dell.
Yep, Lori Dell. You start seeing the people you recognize.
Were here from the beginning.
Uh-huh, coming in from the very beginning. There's again Debbie. You know, Carl and Debbie always there doing the hard labor, and so they
with
were great.
The helps gift.
Yep. Yep. And Lawrence and Pam, we see them a lot, but they're not around anymore, so again, I hadn't really pointed them out. Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yep, that's me. Let's move along quickly.
That's Daryl.
Yep,
Hartley.
Daryl. Yep, the Hartleys
Christy.
And all. Now, while they're zipping through these, when we get
there's
to the end
Tim.
Of these. Yeah, there's Tim. Yeah, Tim Dell. Yeah. Tim and Lori came at this time and started. Let me tell you one more cool thing about this as they're going through pictures. And go ahead. You have one you point out? Okay. We moved in there. We got settled in. We're already in. Guess what we found out? We didn't know till later. Guess what we found out after we were in and church started? That used to be a white store. That the McDonald's owned.
Yeah.
I mean, God honored their prayers to such a degree. I mean, I never met the McDonald's. I ate there once, but I never.
No.
I know it's not that McDonald's. I'm kidding. But anyway.
But it was confirmation to us that God had led us to that next step and then to the next step.
Yeah, and I have to say, and real quick, kind of as a recap, there it is as we got it more finished. As a recap, she said a confirmation, something I didn't think to mention, but I will now. The first years were very hard. And it was, you know, I basically call it, you know, plowing concrete. Because we grew so slow, and everybody, I remember when we came here, somebody said, why are you planting another church? You know, you have that whole thing. It's like, well, God called us. We're just going to do what he asked us to do, right? And I remember we would go, we'd have the clubhouse nights where there'd hardly be anybody there. And clubhouse night sounds bad, but clubhouse, not, you know what I'm talking about. And we'd get finished and we'd just go and just like feel so sad. We'd go and just get, of all things, at the Outback. Remember the Sinful Sunday? They don't have that anymore. It had to be called the Sinful Sunday, didn't it? But we'd go on a regular basis and eat those and try to drown our sorrows in Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell people,
sick and sad after
that's right.
That.
Yeah, now you feel terrible. And I would say the most important thing in the early days of the ministry was Sundays, chocolate Sundays. And so there's the church as we got it more developed. And again, just a blessed time. And I'm not
that's
sure who
Travis.
I look like in that picture.
That was Travis.
Oh yeah, yep. There's Travis.
Lawrence,
that's right.
And
there's
Greg
Travis and Greg
and you uh-huh. at the end.
And that's me. It looks like Seinfeld, kind of. I don't know what that is. Like,
there's Liel and yep, Adiah
and Liel.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure the other kids are on yep. that one. But either way, so
Carl and Debbie.
Debbie. Yep. So baptisms. I think that was at the Y. We went to the Y one time. We did a baptism there. And that's Greg. And who is that? I'm not sure. That's
Greg and Greg.
Greg and Greg, that's right, okay. Yep, there it is.
That is Mark and Tolly as a baby, and Michaela and my mother.
Yep, and so.
And there's Stacy.
Yep, Stacy came around that time. She was there, you know, early through that and all. And so we were, again, we were
and
there,
Lori.
Like I said,
yeah.
You know, 13 years or so. And the church went, of course, when we moved in there, we were about 90-some people. The church went while we were there from 90-some people to?
Don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. You're right. But we just, I was just kind of letting know the growth. It was slow growth.
It's Jamie holding baby Aaron.
Yep.
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 And Christy. So. And Annette. Just a bunch of people. Right. And yeah. We're at the Ingram Lotz conference in that picture with Fernando Ortega, our favorite.
Yep. And so... So as you see, the church was growing, the ministries were growing. There's Fernando hanging out with him. So just kidding, but he's there.
I was hanging out with him. And
yep,
Tim.
Yep.
And Tim.
Yeah.
And so, Tim and Lori have been in our kids' ministry forever, and Lori wrote the kindergarten first grade curriculum for us, which goes 5 years worth. So she has been very faithful. Both of them have been. And their ability and their blessing to our kids' ministry. A lot of fruit in heaven for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it was such a blessing to be in that property. I mean, we had so many, it was used for so many different things. And, you know, before we moved to this property, we were looking for property. Those pictures are going to let you know, because we wanted to have our own place one day. But right before we decided, the owner of that property said, look, how about buying this property? Just keep it, expand the whole thing or whatever. And so we thought, well, we don't have the money. We couldn't get a loan to get a place. He said, I'll finance it for you. And so, you know, we thought that'd be great. You finance it. And of course, we got away as elders to pray. And God made it very clear we weren't supposed to move forward with that. So we continued looking for property. And then in about 2004, and that's okay if these keep running while I say that, we found this property. So we bought this property back in 2004. And we've only been in here 8 years, but we bought it in 2004. And of course, we just were paying it off. So we wanted to have all the property and pay the property off prior to, you know, building and just kind of moving forward in phases as we could.
That's our girls.
Yep.
There's Abby as a little one, and Gobby, and Michaela, and Liel, and Tolly.
Yep, there they are. And so that's on the kids' ministry side.
Yeah.
Yep. So... and so we're just praying the whole time. And again, this property is interesting because I would drive by it every day going back and forth to our house, you know, and I thought, we don't need 44 acres. And they had this big 44-acre sign up or whatever. And there's a great one at Greg and Ann, yep. But after a couple of years of driving by it, I just felt in my heart, well, at least go check it out. Go check it out. And so we had a guy in the church that was a developer. He got on the property with us, and this was totally raw land. Nothing was developed. It was just forest. And he was like, you know what, there's a lot of work to do here, but this is great land. He said, this is going to be a good piece of property. It's got a great location, whatever. And I just felt that God really confirmed it. So we moved forward. The board, you know, felt right about doing it, and we purchased the property. And so as we were on the property and as we were kind of getting closer to building, there we are. This is to the property now. We're coming to look at it, right?
I know that the women and I went up and prayed for it. Because yeah. Everything seemed to be taking forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
So we went up there and we prayed.
So we cleared out cleared some areas out, a little road, put some rock down so you could get on and off the property. Eventually, of course, put in the bridge. That's the bridge down there as we were working in phases, developing the property. The ladies praying up on where we are now. That's the parking lot. You can see the rocks in the background. So you can see about where they are in the parking lot. Kind of gives you a perspective of what was there and where we are. Again, the road across the bridge. So you can see this, again, this was just...
Woods.
Yeah, it was just woods. And there, again, a great shot from the air to give you an idea of what the upper hill looked like. And then the lower property. And I think in just a minute, we get to where we start, again, getting what we could get done in phases. And then we, of course, start having prayer times up here. We'd bring the elders up. The women would come up and pray. This is when we finally laid the foundation. This was the beginning of laying the foundation, which was probably about 10 years ago now. Because we've been in there for, it took about almost 2 years to build. And we had a kind of a big ceremony where we came up here and everybody gathered together. We prayed over the foundation. We prayed for God to use it and just ask God's blessing on it.
Carried Bibles
yep,
in the foundation.
Yep. And then pouring the foundation and getting the property ready to use. Now, as he's scrolling through these... Yes, I want to tell about that. I'm definitely going to tell about that. But here's kind of where we were before the foundation started getting laid. Now, you're seeing all this happening and all this taking place as far as they'll keep running the pictures, you know, and that's fine. You can keep running them as we see this developing and shaping into the building we're in now. But what had happened was is that we were down to the wire of we didn't really have the money. We still owed about $300,000 to pay the land off. maybe 380, I forget. We had a lot of, first of all, let me tell you about the property, how we got the property. I think that's kind of neat what happened there. The owners were selling it. There was a conglomerate of 12 different people that owned the property. And so I went to the bank. You know, they wanted, and this is really a great price, and they wanted $875,000, which for 43 acres of land, 44 acres of land, especially you look at prices today, because this was a long time ago, but even at that, we had looked at the place just down the road where the Cornerstone place is now that has the recovery center or whatever, and that was something like $2.6 million for 16 acres. And so they wanted $875,000 for this. So I went to the bank and said, look, what will you guys loan us? And they were like, the most we can give you is $500,000. So I thought, well, it's owned by a group of 12 different people. They may want a tax write-off. I mean, it could be a benefit to them and us, right? Not asking for anything free, which we wouldn't. But at the same time, if it's a benefit, it could be a win-win. So I said, hey, well, how about we do this? I'll give you $500,000 in cash because that's all we can get. And you donate the rest and you can write it off in taxes between the 12 of you guys and your business. You can write that off as you divide up that amount, the 300-something thousand that you donate. You can divide that up over the next 5 years. He said, well, let me contact my partners and see what they say. Sure enough, he called me back. He said, you got a deal. We'll do it. So we got this we got these 40-some acres for $500,000. And it was win-win. It wasn't us saying, you know, give us something free. They won. They loved doing that because they were trying to sell it. They were able to use it. You know, land wasn't as going as hot as it is now. And so anyway, but now we came to the point where we're about to lay the foundation, and they're still showing pictures of everything getting done. And all of a sudden, it was this thing where we owed a lot of money. We didn't really have the money to move forward, and there was kind of this. One of the board members said, "You know, I don't think we're supposed to keep this property. I think we're supposed to sell it." And I remember thinking, "I mean, we've come a long way. I mean, we're supposed to sell it. Yeah, I don't think this is God. I think we've messed up. We need to sell it, get what we can back out of it, and try to go some other direction." And I remember just praying, saying, "Lord, if this is you, you've got to speak to me. I need to know somehow. You need to confirm this because it needed to be settled." So we were down to the point of saying we have to make a decision. And so I used to come up to the property, again, when it was still just raw land, and you guys see the rocks that are over there. The way those rocks got there, there used to be kind of a rock wall that went down right there between this parking lot and that parking lot, and we had to blast it out. We knew we needed to use this for a parking lot, so we came up, and the team came up. We were hired to blast it out, blasted all the rocks out, pushed all the rocks over there in a pile to the side and left them right there. They moved the rest of it out or spread it around or whatever they did with it. And I used to come up for years. I came up probably 4 or 5 years, 4 or 5, 6 years. I would come and just get on those rocks and pray. It was kind of my prayer spot, you know, find a place alone. I was coming to the land that God had given us. I'm thanking God. I'm praying, God, when's it going to be? How long do we have to wait? What are you going to do? And how are you going to move and all this? And so we're a good 5 or 6 years into that. And this whole idea that maybe this is a wrong thing. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I respect my board. I especially respected this particular board member. And so I'm thinking, maybe I've really messed up here. And that's kind of a scary thing when you're the pastor of a church and you've led down this direction and now you have all this investment and all this direction. How do we sell it? And if we do sell it, where do we go from here as far as that goes? So I came up to the property and I was praying. And this is where I'm going to share a little bit of the word with you. I have to get in the word if we gather together. We have to. And not just share in sharing. But I was sitting up here thinking, okay, Lord, you know, where should I read? God, just speak to me. I need to know. And this was the moment where I thought, look, this is it. We need to make a decision one way or the other. And, most of the board was kind of neutral about it, and just kind of one kind of pushing that direction. And so I started thinking, well, Lord, what do you want me to read? You know how God does it. He puts in your heart the book of Joshua. So I start reading Joshua. That would seem like an appropriate book. Joshua, you know, going to take the land type thing. And I just kind of felt that was something to read. So I'm reading through Joshua. And then I come to, as I'm reading through, it's kind of cool because our land is laid out a lot like Israel, like the land of Israel. And if you look at our land and the whole thing, I mean, the whole layout is, that's why we call it the Jordan Valley down there. That's why we have some area right up here because it's kind of like Samaria in that, when you look at the layout. And this is the Temple Mount, that the Mount of Olives over there. It really is, if you look from the air, the layout of our land and the boundary, a lot like Israel. And so I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool, Lord, because again, they came from the east and crossed over to the west, over the Jordan to settle into the new land. And I'm thinking, hey, you have to come in from the east side. We cross over our creek, you know, I mean, all these things, you know, your mind's working, right? And God's ministering to me. And then I came to chapter 4, and this one I read a little bit of this. It says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them and say, the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. You know, God, you showed them that you gave them that land by having them bring stones over and setting them down. I'm kind of thinking about this and reasoning this out in my mind, totally clueless at this moment. And you know how God speaks to your heart. God said, count the stones. You mean the ones I've been praying on for the last 6 years? I never thought to count the stones. He said, count the stones. And I thought, wow, this is it. If there's 11 or 13, I think what God's saying is you need to sell the property. But if there's 12, no, there couldn't be 12 stones. I stood up. And I walked the first three stones and I went and sat back down. Because this was it. We were selling the property. I made up my mind. This is my answer from God. I stood back up. I went a few more. I went back and sat. I did that three times. And I guess I can't say I'm not emotional. Sometimes I am. But by the time I got to the 12th stone out there, I was in tears. And I was standing on the 12th stone, the last stone. Since then, a little tiny piece of one has broken off in the last year or two. So don't count that. But there were 12 stones. And God said to me, even as I gave the promise to the children of Israel, I'm giving you this promise. Never doubt me again that I gave you this land. These 12 stones will be a memorial for you forever. Don't move them. And I remember walking back to the car thinking, Lord, I don't think there's any other way stronger you could show me that this is the land. I have my answer, and I'm going to tell the guys, God has made it clear to me, this is the land we're supposed to stay in. I don't think there's anything you could do to prove it more. I kid you not, guys, you can't make this stuff up. I walked back to my car, and I didn't realize I'd pulled the front of my car into some honeysuckle, and there was a jug of milk sitting down at the bottom of it. And I said, you got to be kidding me, the land of milk and honey. And I was like, I didn't need that, God, but that's really cool. I think within a year or so, I don't remember exactly. I want to be careful that I don't embellish the story. But I'm thinking within a year or so, that $300,000 we owed was paid off. And we were ready to move forward with our building, which you saw us doing here on the property. And now whenever there's any moment of you know, any question, which anymore there can't really be any question or whatever, but if there's ever any kind of moment where you're like, Lord, what's going on? Those stones always stand as a reminder that God says, no, this is what I've called you to do. This is the land I gave you. Continue to move forward and look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. Now, anything else on that before I say this? Just so you guys know, we are also in the process. We don't have the money to build a new sanctuary, and that's up to the Lord. What happens? Again, you know, it's interesting. When you start ministry out, I think you have a lot of visions in your mind of what you think it's going to be like and what's going to happen and all that. And again, I didn't know what God was going to do, but I didn't know it would be as hard as it was at the beginning and all that. But you watch God, you look back over the years and you see all that God has done, and then you say, okay, God, where are you going to go from here? You know, we sing that song. He moved a mountain. He's going to move a mountain again. And I don't know how God's going to do all this. We don't have what we need to build another sanctuary, but if God wants us to build one, he will. And if not, we'll be satisfied with this and we'll make it work. Again, we have no agenda to build, you know, our own kingdom or to do something to make a statement. That this is whatever God wants to do is how we've done it. We followed the Lord the whole time. We're going to continue to do that. But just so you guys know, what God has been faithful to do is God has given us now enough to where we can move forward. Again, we're doing all this in cash without loans, where we're going to now clear out that lower area. You know, we call the Jordan Valley down there, that lower area. There's another probably 6 acres back in there. We're going to clear another 4 of it back through there to have it leveled off so that we can begin to develop that area for should God delay and should God give us, you know, what we need to do that, some type of young adults building or youth building that'll be down there for conferences or whatever we're going to use it for. So there'll be more property cleared out down there. We've already got the drawings going for that, as well as we're going to be pushing some of that hill over here, what we call the Mount of Olives, pushing some of that down here in this lower valley and creating more parking that way and more parking this way. So we're continuing the land development where we are right now. And then we're just going to do what we can with where we are, and we'll see where God leads it from there. But now you guys know how to pray. Look, the time is short. I believe the Lord's coming back at any time. But I want to do everything God has told us to do. He said, occupy until I come. We're going to continue to move forward in whatever his agenda is until the Lord takes us out of here. So I don't know how long that's going to be, but that's kind of where the plans are and where our next phase is. So anything to add to that? Okay. What else do you want to say? No, well, we're pretty close. Here's what I did. I went through this thing. Yeah, I went through it really quick because I was afraid we'd go, there's so much to cover, we'd go too long. And so we actually have some more time. No, share what's in your heart.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, when we first started out, everything was terrifying and hard, and you wonder if it's ever going to grow. And it, like when Debbie called, I was so happy because she knew about Calvary Chapel. No one had ever heard about it around here. And she was like, are you this kind of church? And we're like, yes. And can you wear this? Yes. And you play guitars? Yes. And I was like, it's the right one. So it was like just each person was like your whole world. And I don't think you really think it, but in some ways you think you, if you do really good, your efforts will produce something. And that, and God had to teach us that it has zero to do with anything that we do other than to try to be faithful to him. And then if we're faithful to him, then he will do the blessing and the work and the ministry regardless of how it is. It's all his, and the church is his, and there's nothing we can do except for be faithful and all of us to try to walk faithful together. But there's no way we could do the ministry without all the pastors and the support people that are here at the church. One or two people can't do it. It takes all of us ministering to one another, but I thought it might be nice if the pastors and staff stood up so everybody could see them. And Miles,
Miles has been, and Stephanie has been here forever. I think about Jamie that's not here tonight. We think about, you know, Tim and Donna. There's so many of you guys, all you guys. I can keep going down the list, and so please don't feel offended if I didn't name you personally. But, yeah, so that's Miles back there. Been here with us forever. How long have you been here now, Miles? 2002. All right? Yeah. So 2 years before we even bought the property. Yeah. So, and our staff. Let's have them stand up. Where's the staff? Stand up. Staff and pastors, stand up.
And leaders of ministries, there's Will and Courtney, and Mike is new, Travis and Pastor Jason. You should introduce.
Yeah, make sure that everybody knows all the pastors. That Pastor Jason back there just stood up.
So he's normally teaching right now.
Yeah,
we're taking
kind of ran
spot.
You out of the pulpit tonight. Sorry about that. But so you want to step again real quick, Pastor Jason? And there's family. Here's your family. Stand up. Have your family stand up. Jesse and everybody stand up. There they are. There's the whole Brown family. Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. And again, I don't know if you're happy or sad. Haley just went to college. I'm sure you're sad, but you're happy for her. And so there's a lot of mixed feelings there. So that's great. Yeah, where is Travis? Travis is in here. Travis and Reagan. There they are. Reagan, stand up. She won't do it, right? Come on, you can do it. Yes, there you go. And all, the whole family, yeah, stand up, guys. They've been here, again, you saw them in the picture. She's right, again, been here forever as well. Tracy's saying that's true. Again, just been here for a long time. Let's go on to Clint. Where's Pastor Clint? He and I, Rita? Not here, okay, that's all right. That's all right. Again, you know, I'm sure that he let me know he wasn't going to be here, or maybe I'll fire him. But anyway, I'm just kidding. We used to have Pastor Clint. He's moved on now. And our newest pastor, Pastor Mike and Judy, stand up. Isn't that great? Yeah, okay, we can do that. Yeah, we might as well. Our youth leaders, of course, no, Will stood up. He did, but Will's like does all of our groundskeeping and everything.
All by himself, he does all of our grass, and I think that's a miracle.
Yeah, this guy's like a Superman.
And he can even carry, like, whole trees by himself.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So you want to have the, Liel's doing the junior high. She's like, no, don't make, you saw Liel, but there she does junior high. Again, we're still kind of in.
Simi does a cafe. Where's Simi? Is he here?
Yeah, I mean.
Probably in the cafe. No.
Well, I mean, for all of you guys that lead ministries, I mean, there's so many people. I think that we're about to have this ministry fair next week, and I think Mike was saying, Pastor Mike was saying something like there's 34 or 35 tables that are going to be representing ministries. So, I mean, there's so many of you that are serving, so many of you that have been here the whole time, and just such a blessing, really just to grow in the Lord together. And I know some people come and pass through and move on. That's how God, he moves his sheep around. But we're all a part of the family of the Lord, and it's just kind of neat to see the work that God has done. Just very exciting to see. So quite a journey for us, and it's kind of a great journey to see where God's going to take us from here. You know, again, God's not done yet. I mean, he's not done yet. He hadn't taken us out of here. And I think that what we need to be doing as a body, which y'all know this, is continuing to move forward until the Lord does come back. But I know this. I have no, as I said, no ambition just to do something and make something happen. I'm not saying a lack of diligence and seeing what God wants. I have that very strongly. But there's nothing in me that wants to just try to do something, just to say that we're doing something. But be praying that God would lead us in this next season. I don't know how much longer we have. But be praying specifically for God to lead us. We'll trust in God to lead us as far as what he brings in, the resources to go where we're supposed to go, to do what we're supposed to do. And especially even with some of the changes, I know we now dropped the first service Sunday morning because of my throat and some issues there. And I know they were saying, we have plenty of spaces, plenty of spaces. Well, this morning at one of the services, we only had 12 left. So already right off the bat, it's kind of like, oh my goodness. So we need to be thinking, but just be praying. God knows what his plan is. And he'll take it from there. So it's something you're going to add.
Just that it seems very exciting that, you know, all the growth that happened during COVID, that it feels like Noah's Ark and God's bringing the animals into the ark.
What are you saying about our people? Are you calling them animals?
No, but it just feels like God is drawing people here for a specific purpose. And I feel like it's strong believers that are being gathered together for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is. I know it is to worship him and to tell others about him, but I also feel like it's an army for his kingdom, and I'm so thankful for all of you.
Absolutely. You know, that's right. I have no doubt, guys. Look, I have no doubt. God, the growth we've had in the last couple of years, God has specifically brought you guys here for such a time as this. And I can say this, I've heard a lot of churches say when they had sudden growth like that, you know, it was really hard and everybody comes from different backgrounds and then you got all these different doctrines and everybody's and all this weird stuff that happens. None of that has happened, at least not that you've let me hear. But none of that has happened. There is a unity among us. Those of you that have come out from Yubu, from other places, it's like funny. It's like, I guess I would feel the same way, but how many times you'll say to me, like, yeah, we're from California, like that's some kind of... Or we're from Oregon. We love you, and we're so glad God sent you our way. You are family, and you are where you belong. God brought you here, and you're welcome, and we love you, and I'm thrilled that you're here, and he brought you here for a reason, and he's bringing us together for a reason. Again, I think for such a time as this, and so it's exciting to watch. Who knows what God's going to do with all these warriors he's brought in, and it's just fun for us to be able to watch it. And to see God work. And you know, the exciting thing too, looking back on the ministry, and again, something I'd share with you guys that just watching God work, it's interesting because people say, well, as the church suddenly grew, how are you handling the extra pressure? I'm like, there's no extra pressure because it's not our church. It's God's church. And God is the one. You belong to him. We belong to him. We're all just family. And we're just called to do what each of us are called to do. And God is the one that carries any load, if there's any load. And it's just a joy. It's just a joy. And you guys, again, this church has been such a blessing to us. I know some of you are newer, you know, to the fellowship or whatever. But those that are here now and those that have been here over the years, I mean, it's just been such a blessing. The ministry was hard, but it wasn't hard because of the people as much as it was hard just, again, trying to get things to go and to find out how to get planted and get started. That's a difficult thing in planting a church. It's not easy to do. And we'd never done it, so we didn't know until we did it. But, again, what a blessing you guys have been.
And you can still continue to please pray for the building project that we're doing for the pavilion down there and the clearing of the land, because it's always a huge spiritual battle, and it still is.
And I would say something else, guys. You've heard me say it. Be praying for this. God gave us another road on and off of this property, and it goes up there to Topside. And as you guys know, we've had a real hard time getting the city to allow us to do anything. As you pray for God. You know, we say again, God moves the mountain. Ask for God to move that mountain. I believe God's going to eventually give us that road. I really do. I remember when we first got on the property, I walked every bit of it. I intentionally went around the whole border of the property. And the reason I did it was is because God said, every place the sole of your foot goes down, I've given to you. And as I walked up the road to Topside, before I ever knew there was going to be such opposition, I said, Lord, you gave us this, and you gave us an entrance. I think God's still going to do it. It's his time. But just be praying, because God can move mountains, and we'll see where God takes us beyond that. I think if the church continues to grow, and it may not, but if it does, we're going to need another entrance and an exit.
We need one now, because I was in the line with everybody else, and I was backed up to the bridge today.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm
God
sorry
will take care of it.
For everybody that has to wait in a line.
Yeah.
Because I don't like lines.
Yeah. Well, there's so much more we could say. We're coming up on running out of time. But before I pray, and is there anything else you want to add to that, or anything else? I mean, there's so much we could talk about that we haven't. But
no. But how many times have you taught through the Bible?
This is the third time through.
Third time through, and it takes a long time, but it's great. It changes your life to hear the teaching of God's word. It changed my life when I heard the word taught, even though I'd been in church three times a week my whole life. When I heard it taught line by line, verse by verse, it was shocking.
Right.
And it's life-changing. And so I'm so thankful. I can truly tell you that Mark is faithful. He's the same at home as he is here. He's been super faithful to love the Lord, to pray for you and for our family and for this church. And I'm thankful for Mark and his leadership of our home and also of this church. And I know that he loves you, and he's sincere and trustworthy and the real deal.
Well, I'm not trying to create a group hug moment, but until you're a pastor's wife, I don't think you know what a pastor's wife does when it comes to ministry. And I can say the same thing about Tracy. The things she does behind the scenes, the things she's done over the years, the fact that there's any color coordination or design to this building, a huge blessing. And so I know it goes both ways. And again, you know, it's kind of awkward to even talk about in that sense, other than unless I can talk about Tracy and all that I know she's been through. And we've been through this together, you know, and it's quite the journey. But again, just what a great journey, and what a blessing to be a part of all this, and just thankful to the Lord. Again, looking forward to what God's going to do from this point on. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. You have something else to?
I was just going to say, I feel like that we can just be cheerleaders for one another to encourage each other in our walks with the Lord. I feel like Jesus is coming back, and I beg him to every day. And I'm excited, and I feel like this is the last leg of our race. And I feel like we need to finish strong and push hard and set our faces like flint and serve a master of one. And we're in it together.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, let's do this. While we pray, I want the worship team to come on up, because I know you have some setup. I know we're right at the buzzer, but we can't go out without worshiping. We got to go out and worship. But as you guys are, you had another worship song, right? Okay, good. I didn't see. Carl didn't get up, and so I'm like, okay, there may not be a worship song. No, I'm sorry. That's all right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, again. What can we say? Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You've been so faithful, God, and truly, even as Tracy said earlier, all the glory goes to you. There's, Lord, only you know how inadequate I am. And again, Lord, just those that you've used to be such an encouragement and a strength over the years, and what you've done, God, it is your spirit and your power. You've done it all, and we give you all the glory. And Lord, we know if you brought us this far, you're going to take us to the next level. And so we trust you in that. And we're excited, God, to see what you're going to do in the future. God, I pray that you would now just lead us clearly into what you have for us in the future. And we're going to just follow you. We don't know when you're coming back, but Lord, we're looking for you right now. And if we do nothing else, Lord, it's enough. If you come right now, we're thrilled. But Lord, if you're going to wait longer and you have more work for us to do, we're here to be your servants and to do what you've asked us to do. So we thank you, Lord. We pray your continued blessing on Calvary Chapel Knoxville and the future of Calvary Chapel Knoxville, and Lord, your church as a whole. We're just one small part of the work you're doing here. And we thank you that we can be a part of that. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.